This is CBS News Bay Area with Juliette Goodrich.
Hi, I'm Sarah Donchi. Juliette Goodrich is off. Another First Alert weather day, and the heat is not letting up yet. A heat alert that covers a lot of the inland parts of the Bay Area extends all the way through tomorrow. And with the heat, as always, comes the risks of fire. And that is exactly what we're seeing in the North Bay right now. Forward progress is stopped, though, on the Crystal Fire. This one is burning north of St. Helena. About 60 acres have burned on a hill just west of the Bell Canyon Reservoir. This one broke out just after 1:30 this afternoon. The fire came very close to the Reverie 2 Winery, and it's unclear if it did damage a house that was there in the middle of the hillside you see in that video. Five firefighters had to be evaluated for injuries. Two of them ended up in the hospital. It has been a long day for crews up there. CAL FIRE says a lot of the same firefighters came straight to this fire after spending hours battling a structure fire in St. Helena. And the triple-digit temperatures in the area definitely did not help.
When you have the heat advisories like we've worked through yesterday, today, and can continue into tomorrow, you get the fuels that are very receptive to some ignition and to fire spread.
All right, for more on the fire conditions, let's go over to Chief Meteorologist Paul Hagan.
Yeah, Sarah, the major complicating factor for those fire crews today was the heat. Temperatures, yeah, that part of the North Bay got up to over 100 degrees. It's still 94 degrees as of 7 p.m. But the good news is that they didn't have to worry about critically low humidity levels below 10%. Instead, humidity levels have been around 30% this afternoon, and they didn't have to battle any gusty winds. The winds have been around the 5 to 10 mile an hour range, and that really did help them, despite the fact they had to, again, endure that kind of heat to boost those containment levels so quickly around that fire. We had temperatures that reached up into the low 100s in the hot end of the spectrum today. Concord set a record high of 102. Now, take that with a grain of salt. The climate record in Concord only goes back about 25 years. Half Moon Bay, though, got up to 75 degrees today before dropping off quickly. And temperatures right now are only in the upper 50s along the coast. Elsewhere is a mix of 80s and 90s across the Bay Area. And tomorrow, we're going to take a step back. But the National Weather Service still hasn't canceled the heat advisory for tomorrow. They should, because we're going to be in the upper 80s and low 90s instead of the upper 90s and low 100s. The heat risk is going to be a complete category lower across the board. The temperatures are still going to be above normal, a few degrees above average for San Francisco and Oakland, 7 or 8 degrees above average farther inland into the 80s and low 90s. But again, that is an improvement over the near triple digit heat we've had on a widespread basis the past couple of days. We'll take a look ahead to the weekend coming up in just a few minutes. Sarah.
All right, Paul, thank you. So back to this fire. Firefighters in St. Helena had to bring in helicopters to make water drops. We even saw an air tanker that was dropping fire retardant to keep the Crystal Fire from spreading. But as we get deeper into fire season, they might actually have a new tool to help fight fires from above. It's a drone developed by NASA researchers in the South Bay. Mary Lee got a look at what it does and how it could help with some disastrous wildfires.
As we enter into wildfire season, NASA researchers are using their advanced aviation technology to help our Bay Area communities stay safe from devastating wildfires.
It's very personal for me. I grew up in California, and in my lifetime, I've seen the effects of these fires really impact people I care about.
For Catherine Chapman, intense wildfires are a very real thing.
I've seen lots of family members have to evacuate, or sometimes had to pack up the car and get ready to head out myself because the fire was moving closer.
That experience motivates her work at NASA, helping firefighters battle monster wildfires using drones.
I'm taking you over to the mobile kit that's used to visualize airspace. This was developed in a previous NASA Ames project, and we're using it today to look at the airspace.
Check in with the range safety officer that we are clear to fly in this area. And Rick, you're good?
I'm good.
All right. Launching. Right. Vehicles in the air.
The U.S. Forest Service is currently using drones to identify, monitor, and capture thermal images of wildfires in real time. But soon, Catherine's work will help first responders use drones for so much more.
Warning. So while we're doing operations, we have audible signal in case some aircraft come in too close.
NASA's Advanced Capabilities for Emergency Response Operations, or ACERO, is creating air traffic control software for first responders in their wildfire coordination and operations, improving communication and situational awareness for both drones and aircraft in emergency airspace, with the goal to fight wildfires with actual drone Firehawk-style helicopters 24/7 at night and in heavy smoke, where it was once unsafe for aircraft to fly before.
Ultimately, it's incredibly important to me to be involved with projects like this that are having a real influence on things that are close to me and close to where I live.
For Catherine, her work is extremely rewarding, knowing her research will one day soon save our homes and lives.
Caution.
The drone is still in the development stages. Scientists plan to demo it with firefighters as early as this fall. Vice President Kamala Harris got a very Bay Area greeting today. Groups of demonstrators welcomed her at several campaign fundraising events. The first was in Oakland, where pro-Palestinian demonstrators lined the road with signs chanting for an end to the violence and increased aid for more than 1 million people trapped in Gaza since fighting began roughly 8 months ago. She followed that event with another in San Francisco's Mission District, where once again, dozens of protesters took to the street outside the event to get their message out in front of her. And tomorrow, former President Donald Trump will be in town for a fundraiser. It will be hosted by billionaire tech investor David Sacks at his San Francisco Pacific Heights mansion. Tickets range from $50,000 to $500,000. President Biden traveled to France today, where he'll commemorate the 80th anniversary of D-Day tomorrow. On June 6th, U.S. troops, along with other allied forces, invaded the beaches of Normandy to liberate Nazi-occupied France. It was the largest seaborne invasion in history and is considered the catalyst for the end of World War II. About 150 American veterans also flew out for tomorrow's ceremony. Major commemorations are only held every 5 years, and with the youngest of the veterans in their late 90s, this might be the last commemoration attended by those who fought in World War II. While they weren't on the battlefield, back at home, millions of Rosies jumped on in the front lines at shipyards and factories. Among them, Marion Souza, who worked on the Richmond shipyards. And as she told our Amanda Harry, she hopes the Rosies' contributions will inspire future generations.
And this is shipyard number 3.
98-year-old Marion Souza still embodies the Rosie the Riveter image, 80 years after she worked in the Richmond shipyards.
My years as a draftsman, that's what made me a Rosie.
That time is still a major part of her life. In her home, a room dedicated to Rosie the Riveter.
This is last year's book.
And everything she has accomplished because of her time working.
Vice President.
Souza moved to the Bay Area in 1942 when she was just 16 years old. She met her husband, enrolled in Richmond High School, and got married. After graduating, she took a six-week engineering drawing course at UC Berkeley, where she learned to draw blueprints.
I was hired right out of the classroom to go to shipyard number 3 in the engineering department as a draftsman.
She worked on blueprints that created ships that would fight in seaborne invasions. Similar to the ones used on June 6, 1944, D-Day. Professor of History at Cal State East Bay, Jessica Weiss, says D-Day was a watershed battle for the Allies in Europe during World War II. But while the men were fighting overseas, Rosies like Souza were working at home.
The war effort on the home front was a woman's effort.
Weiss says women were making significant contributions, manufacturing ammunition, aircrafts, and ships like Souza. It was the beginning of women growing within the workforce.
Despite the fact that women were first fired after the war, you never really saw a step down in women's employment again.
Souza still volunteers several times a month at the Rosie the Riveter Museum in Richmond.
Good morning. How are you?
She says when World War II began, everyone wanted to help. She says many of the women didn't realize the impact they were having, She's glad they did it.
I hope that we're giving a message to the young people, and especially girls, that you're not handicapped. You don't have to walk 2 steps behind a guy. It's not a man's world anymore.
Souza may be slowing down now, but she's grateful that other women are carrying the baton and continuing to shatter the glass ceiling.
She isn't traveling anywhere this year. She plans to mark the 80th anniversary of D-Day at home.